very busy. Many important matters require a king's attention.
I'm king now. King now.
I am king.
I am
king.
I am
kiss it.
I am
kiss it again.
I am
turn.
Your fingers or your
king doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plans.
He's one,
but
your fingers or your tongue.
I am
the king. I'm telling mother.
Welcome to the Joffrey Podcast. My name's Bubba, and this is going to be a special edition of the Joffrey Podcast, everybody. Our good friends, the great people at Geek Girl Soup, asked us to contribute something to their podcast. Catfish and I, we started talking, and we really just didn't stop. So we gave them about 10 minutes worth of stuff, and we just kept talking. And so I thought, why not put out the whole conversation between Catfish and I? The beginning part of our discussion with Geek Girl Soup touches on how we felt about this last season, season 5 of the HBO series Game of Thrones. And then later in the podcast, we're going to go into what we call Speculation Corner. That's where, with very minimal book spoilers, Catfish and I speculate on what we're going to be seeing a year from now in Game of Thrones Season 6. I want to point out quickly that I always mention Catfish and I, we're not double B, professional podcasters. And so when we had our contest, of course, as soon as we had our drawing to give away another prize in this podcast, we noticed that there were more iTunes reviews that we had missed, including one from Heather P.S. Plus, we never checked Stitcher, and sure enough, people had been leaving us reviews for the Joffrey Podcast on Stitcher.com. And so in our next podcast, those people will be entered in, and we'll have even more fun, great prizes to give away. And I want to send a special shout out to all our Irish listeners. I'm going to be in Ireland on the first week of August, and I hope to get up to Belfast and do one of those Game of Thrones tours. I will mainly be centered in Dublin and a town just north of there called, I hope I pronounce this correctly, Drogheda, D-R-O-G-H-E-D-A. It's where my aunt lives. I'm going to be a stupid American who needs help around the Emerald Isle, and so please hit me up on Twitter and give me any advice and pointers of what to see and what to do. You can reach me, Bubba, at Fit and Trim on Twitter. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter. You can reach that crazy catfish at CJGman67. That's CJGman67. Now, let's go to the show. Wow, Catfish, we're finally guests on Geek Girl Soup Podcast.
You know what?
What?
I don't want to be too depressed now.
No.
I don't want to make this too depressing.
Okay.
But you know what? I'm ready to drink the waters from the House of Black and White. My life is complete now.
Okay. You know what, Catfish?
After we're done.
Well, I promise I'll serve it
this
to you.
This is my crowning achievement.
Now, Catfish, the ladies, the wonderful ladies here at Geek Girl Soup, they were on our podcast. Do you remember that a while back? And they claimed to be members of what they like to call AA.
AA?
Arya's army. That's evil Arya Stark's army. They claim they were a part of it. And they were attacking us for the Joffrey podcast for being the only podcast dedicated to first of his name, first in your hearts, King Joffrey, his great Baratheon.
Well, you know what? I'm not gonna give them too much a hard time for
oh,
it.
Oh, I will. Sure.
Okay. Well, then good. We'll be different here.
Okay.
Because you know what? They are not. They're not the usurpers.
Ugh.
There are plenty of usurpers and plenty of people that need unstraightening.
Right.
You might do some unstraightening on them, but I think in general,
yeah,
I think they're pretty cool.
Now, Catfish, let me just put it like this:
break
they
down
say
for me,
they're members of AA, Arya's army. We just finished a season which had plenty of Arya Stark and no Joffrey. How did that turn out?
Not good.
Terrible.
Not good.
The worst season ever.
Not good. Let me posit this to you.
Posit. Now, Catfish, these books were always going to be more difficult to adapt for the TV show. I understand that. Ever since in the books, King Joffrey faked his death to catch the real usurpers, it was going to be more difficult. So, like, I was thinking to myself, how could you possibly tell the story of Dorne on the TV show compared to what happens in the books? Because what happened in the book is completely different. What happened in the books is Myrcella was so distraught over losing King Joffrey, she didn't know he had faked his death, that she committed suicide.
Oh, it's so horrible. This is like a Romeo and Juliet situation.
Right.
Especially it could have been. I mean, considering that family.
Right. And so because she commits suicide, it was a bit of a downer story. Mm-hmm. So the showrunners thought, well, maybe we'll come up with some stupid story that didn't make sense this lady. She saw her husband volunteer for this trial by combat and die, and then she decides to take it out on the person he was fighting for's niece. I mean, that doesn't make much sense, but what could
it
you
doesn't.
Do?
It doesn't.
Another thing that was always going to be tough about this season that mm-hmm. people didn't like mm-hmm. is how it just, without Joffrey, things became unrealistic. For example, there near the end, Ramsay Snow / Bolton, he says, you know, give me 20 men and I'll go destroy Stannis' camp. And sure
enough,
that's
unrealistic.
Yeah, that's what he did. So many show watchers were like, Stannis didn't have people watching his camp. How were they able to set all these fires exactly at the same time? They went, Ramsay went in there and destroyed the camp with 20 men. They screamed unrealistic. And I honestly think they did that because they're book readers and they know in the books, Joffrey didn't need 20 men. He did it by himself.
All by himself.
He did it, you know, one person. All by himself. They were like, King Joffrey could do it, sure, but Ramsay and 20 guys, impossible. So unrealistic.
And by the way, in the books,
yeah,
Joffrey eventually,
yes,
and I don't know why he does this because she's a horrible human being, mm-hmm. both in the books and in the TV show.
Right.
But Joffrey sort of comes to a rapprochement with right. with Sansa, and mm-hmm. and better things happen for her than happened for her in this series. So, right. You got to be hashtag Team Joffrey all the way.
Hashtag Team Joffrey. One of the things that I think is that when they decided to kill him on the show last season, they had to give characters different motivations. Like right. in the books, the reason why Geek Girl Soup's girl Arya goes to Braavos is she saw how King Joffrey had destroyed her family of usurpers, and so she was scared. She's like, I'll go across the Narrow Sea and escape King Joffrey's wrath.
Get away from Joffrey, yeah.
And
yeah.
then she also realizes that it was her father supporting King Stannis, which led her family to ruin. And King Stannis, he killed his own kids. Good choice, Ned Stark.
Well, I mean, and not to mention
yeah.
that in the books,
yeah.
well, the real one of the other reasons that Arya left
right.
was because oh. she was so attracted to Joffrey.
You mean she was Double J?
Double J.
Well, Double J is what I like to call women who are Joffrey jealous.
Joffrey
jealous that they can't have Joffrey all to themselves.
Right, right. I thought that you meant the other Double J.
Double J.
Jonesing for Joffrey.
What does that mean?
She was jonesing for him.
Oh, well, she was. She was. She saw Joffrey, she was jealous. Girls are always jealous of their older sister. They call it the Jan yeah. Brady effect.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm Team Arya from the books.
Right.
Where it was like, she recognized how powerful and amazing Joffrey was, and she's right. just like, I have to leave because it's inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
There was age inappropriate and also just inappropriate to be interested in someone who was formerly betrothed to her sister.
Right. Now, Catfish, let's get away from Joffrey for a bit, and let's just talk about
how
this
dare
season.
You.
Okay, so let's pretend we're on Geek Girl Soup and we're allowed to not talk about Joffrey.
Okay.
We're incorrect. So let's get away from the Joffrey storyline for a bit. And some people thought, with all the rape and torture and depression and child burnings, that this season was a big depression. How did you feel about season 5?
I had, truthfully now, breaking it down, I had a lot of issues with the season 5.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sometimes I felt like I was being emotionally pummeled by the things that went on.
Yeah, it was a downer. It didn't have the joy to watch that you would normally get. What
I
like
know
to
this
call
this is a dark world.
Yeah,
yeah. And but part of the things that we talked about a couple of times during the season was mm-hmm. was essentially the covenant that either
right.
a writer or the people who are the producers of the show make with the viewers
mm-hmm.
in that. You know, if you're watching a show, you're sticking with something, you want to see the people that you like win.
Yeah.
You want to see them go through tough times, but you want to see them triumph. But you don't want
right.
to see them brutalized.
Right.
And also, you don't want to see them die.
Right. Everybody goes back to Ned Stark. Everybody goes back to Ned Stark's
right.
death. And Ned Stark's death was, remember how Joffrey said he gave him a clean death? It wasn't like you spent hours poking the guy's eye out and then slitting
right.
his throat and stabbing him in the chest like Arya did. It wasn't like burning somebody alive like Stannis did, Ned was Stannis' biggest fan, where he burnt alive Mance Rayder, he burnt alive his daughter, and the wife commits suicide. You know, just depressing. This was not, where was the fun? Where were the laughs?
Well, also, you know, yeah. remember now, you know, that Ned Stark was mm-hmm. essentially, the first season was all about, you know, Ned Stark paying
right.
for his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the first episode of the first season, you know, these people are in conflict with the White Walkers.
Right.
They're in big trouble. And instead of Ned believing them and helping them out, he sings, swings the sword himself.
Right.
So because of that, mm-hmm. he had to pay.
Okay.
And when Joffrey killed him,
right,
then that showed that Joffrey was the righteous one.
Good point. Now, Catfish, why don't we end this by talking about an interesting note that people have said. So, like you said, Ned Stark beheaded that guy who just ran away because he saw the White Walkers, and you would run away, wouldn't you?
You
and
would.
Sure enough, Ned Stark died.
Right.
So he beheaded somebody, he died. Robb Stark beheaded his bannerman, Carr Stark, for killing those Lannister boys in the
right.
cell. And sure enough, Robb Stark died. Jon Snow beheaded the pantry protector, Janos Slynt. And he beheaded him this season, and
right.
he died.
Yeah.
Then the final beheading, remember, is when Theon Greyjoy beheaded Roderick Cassel, and he had trouble. Remember, he cut, and then he had to kick the poor guy's head off.
Yeah.
And Theon wasn't killed. Instead, he.
He was beheaded in one way, kind
right,
of.
His kraken was released, thrown back. You know how you catch some fish and you throw some back? His kraken was...
Catch and release.
His kraken was cut and then thrown back.
Okay.
Ouch. So, is the point that you don't want to be beheading anybody?
That is a good
Wait a minute. Daenerys had Mossador this season. She had his head beheaded, right? Dario cut his off.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened to him? What happened to Daenerys? She got left up. She got kicked out of town.
And, you know, Joffrey never beheaded anybody.
No.
And as we know, mm-hmm. in the books, yep. he's still alive.
Amen.
In the show, he wasn't beheaded either.
No.
No, it was a little bit of poison.
Right. A woman's weapon from a woman.
Wow.
Uncle
okay.
Tyrion.
All right, well, you know what else we need to talk about, Bubba?
What's that?
Because we covered this season of Game of Thrones.
Right.
I just want to say this just to wrap up. I was amazed by the last episode mm-hmm. of this season.
Yeah.
And I rated it highly, but I also at the same time rated my interest in next season low.
Whoa.
Because of the things that happened. But obviously, I'm still going to watch it. We're still going to talk about it.
Yeah, I rated the last episode an 8. And it wasn't because it was enjoyable in any way to watch. It was kind of wallowing in misery for a good hour, mm-hmm. over an hour. But it was effective in what it wanted to do. It wanted us to wallow in this misery, to kind of
right.
be left hanging.
Well, I mean, oftentimes, well, I think mm-hmm. give a nice respite for you, because usually you like to wallow in misery about the ladies. So now you got to do it about the show. So, Bubba, why don't you tell the listeners of Geek Girl Soup the other shows that we cover, which are running now.
Folks, if you enjoy the Joffrey podcast, please download some of our other shows on the network. Currently, we're going over BBC One and BBC America's adaption of Susanna Clarke's novel, Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell. It's a 7-part series airing in America on BBC America, sure enough. And we have got a podcast entitled Lost Hope. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, and you can download and you can hear our commentary on this incredible, really fun, so far, BBC
It is
miniseries.
Fun. It's interesting. If you like Game of Thrones, I think
yeah.
you'll get into this because the magic and the period setting is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'll say only 2 episodes have aired in America, but I'm fairly sure that you can go on to the BBC America's website. You can find
you
the
can
first
catch
2
up
if you
real
haven't
quick.
Read.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other podcast we're about to start doing again is, we did the very first season, now we're doing the second season of The Strain,
heck yeah.
which is FX's Vampire Saga.
Yeah, it is a whole lot of blood sucking. many things are drained in The Strain, including our enjoyment of the show at times.
And my credulity.
And let me say that if you like vampires, if you like a bit of camp, how about that? And a bit of craziness. It is a fun summer mm-hmm. series on FX. And we have a podcast entitled Got Your Milk.
Right.
It's called Got Your Milk. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to your favorite podcatcher apps and download it. It is a lot of fun. And we take that a bit not seriously.
It's hard to take that show seriously.
It is.
As, you know what? I will say my favorite review of that show that we got on iTunes was
yep.
this. If you hate The Strain, this is the podcast for you. So I'd like to thank, even though they are in a little bit usurpers,
right?
I'd like to thank Geek Girl Soup.
Thank
for,
you so much.
For you know having us on.
Yeah, it's a really fun podcast, Geek Girl Soup. And the fact that we've been a chance to have a little say on that podcast, it's an honor.
It is an honor. Mm-hmm. And someday,
yeah.
someday they'll realize
yeah.
how amazing Joffrey is.
Yeah, they probably should. All right, now, Catfish, I'm going to put this up on our pod feed as well real quick, but what I wanted to do is, even though I've mentioned that there are some book spoilers and some things in the books that'll still happen in the show, we're pretty much caught up on a lot of things, so I thought maybe even I could get in the...
In the business of prognosticating?
I would like to try for Game of Thrones.
All right, let's have it. You know what? I'm gonna warn our listeners, though, that I think even though they haven't gone further,
right,
and you're going to do some prognosticating,
yep,
I'm still going to give this at least a mini spoiler alert.
Sure.
Because you've read a lot of books, and we've talked about a lot of books, and you are very, not only are you very proud of it, but it's also one of the things that you are truly good at,
okay,
is figuring out where things are going. Now, this is only... I will say this is for books that are, you know, you do it for mystery books, etc. Right. And I will say this is, I only give a mini spoiler alert because a caveat, I'm still not sure George R. R. Martin knows where he's going. So basically, basically, you have to guess what a crazy person is going to do.
All right, well, let's get to what most people feel is the biggest mystery at the end of season 5.
Got it.
And that is Jon Snow. I believe he is dead, but he will be resurrected.
Now, I believe, I've gone all over and over in this in my head.
Right, okay.
I've come to believe
that
is 100% going to happen in the books and only 70% going to happen on the TV show.
Oh, I'm 100% it's going to happen in the show, too.
Okay.
That's just my own opinion.
There have been so many crumbs dropped about
his parentage,
who he is, etc. It would feel cruel to let him out. Now, the funny thing that I'm wondering is people who don't know, although there's a lot of talk about Game of Thrones
is
that people might go, oh my goodness, they brought him back because of the outrage instead of that they'd always planned to do it.
Yeah, I also wonder about years from now when people marathon the show who haven't seen it before and it's not like in their Twitter feed. I think when they marathon the show and they end one season with him being stabbed and dying and then the next season with him coming back to life, it might feel like a cheat. So because of that, I think Jon Snow won't be brought back from death until at least the very end of the first episode or later in the season. Like, it's not going to be the first scene next season is him being resurrected.
Well, see, that's my only other question either. And again, I think this is okay, and you can edit it out if you think it's not.
Okay.
We've come to a point where we're so far past when this happened in the books.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. One thing that I'm going to talk about, even though...
Sure.
Because it's happened already in the books, is that Lady Stark...
Yeah, Catelyn Stark, Ned's wife.
Catelyn Stark, in the books, is brought back.
Yeah, Thoros of Myr, in the third season, fifth episode, Thoros of Myr showed he could bring Beric Dondarrion back to life after the Hound
like cut seven him up. Times.
Well, that was the sixth time he brought him back to life. In the books, the Brotherhood Without Banners, remember they had Arya and then she ran out of the cave and the Hound grabbed her. In the books, the Brotherhood Without Banner are trying to track and find Arya. So of course they're following the clues and they end up near the twins. It's too late. The Red Wedding has already happened, but a couple of days later they come across her body on the water. Beric Dondarrion says, you know what, hey, I don't need to be brought back anymore. Thoros of Myr bring her back to life. And so that's what happens in the book. That's a book spoiler.
So they chose not to do that on the show.
And why did they do it? I honestly think they decided not to do it because they didn't want two characters who were killed brought back to life, because then it makes death look like it's not important.
So you think that they decided this a long time ago, not because they're like, let's simplify and keep her storyline out of it.
No, I think they did it because, well, if we bring her back and then we're also going to have to bring Jon Snow, maybe death won't seem permanent.
Anybody who dies, it's like, whatever. Right. Well,
also,
they're kind of stuck because either they make death look like it's not that big a deal, or if it doesn't happen a lot and it happens once, it could feel like a cheat.
Right. Well, that would have been if you count Beric Dondarrion being brought back to life in season 3 and then Catelyn Stark being brought back either at the end of season 3 and or season 4 and then season 5 and Jon dying and once again you're going to bring him back in season 6. You could see I wish they had done it because it sets up some great stories in the books that we're not going to get on the show, but either way, long story short, I believe Jon Snow is coming back.
But, now, here's the other thing is there's no way. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted to follow up on that and say the Night's Watch vow, I'm going to be a member of the Night's Watch until I die. And Jon Snow will be able to say, well, you know what? I was a member of the Night's Watch until I died. I'm not.
Oh,
I'm dead
nice.
Now, and I'll be able
nice.
To get out of it.
Nice.
And so that leads me to my next prognosticating area. Melisandre, I know a lot of people hate her, but I do tend to trust her visions. Remember, her vision was she had a vision of the Bolton banners being lowered. She said she saw the Bolton banners on flames.
Yeah.
And she said she saw herself walking the battlements of Winterfell.
And it is funny.
Now, some people have thought, well, she thought she saw herself walking on the battlements of Winterfell, but instead she saw a different red-haired person, Sansa, walking the battlements. I don't think that's true. I think she saw herself. She saw the banners being lowered. And so somehow, some way, Jon Snow being brought back to life. Well, who is now maybe able to defeat the Boltons who's in the North? Well, maybe those wildlings and or any other Northerners. You know, they always said that, boy, we needed Ramsay to marry Sansa so that the Northerners would listen to us. Now that Sansa's not around and now that the wildlings are around, I could see a band of wildlings and Northerners making Melisandre's prophecy come true.
And now if you think she was lying,
yeah.
Let's be honest. They made it very clear, and again, I don't remember from the books or it got this far in the books, but whenever she mentioned her prophecy to Stannis,
he
was never in her visions.
Right, she never mentioned that. That was a bit of a tell.
I wish he could have said, and so why do you think it's me who brings you there? He never questions that part of it.
Right, so that's how I see the Northern storyline going next season.
Well, I always imagined, again, when I read the books...
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I came to a certain point where I thought to myself, it's a story of ice and fire.
Right.
And I thought, okay, at the end of this, it's going to be, and this is not a spoiler alert, but I always thought stereotypically that Dany Daenerys represents fire.
Okay.
And Jon Snow represents ice. So I thought it was going to be Jon Snow and Daenerys together.
Yeah, but don't some people, based on a theory based around Jon Snow's parentage, believe that he represents fire and ice?
Both of them. Okay. Well, that's a good point.
You don't need Daenerys. It's just he represents fire and ice.
Well, I would say this. If you're going against the White Walkers,
yeah.
Rather than having one Valyrian sword, I would rather have three dragons.
I would too.
The other thing is...
Okay.
We have spent on this show...
Right.
And maybe it only feels like it because feels like so little has happened.
Yeah.
I would like to see the numbers broken down of how much time we've spent with everybody. And I'm going to guess that we have spent a lot of time with Daenerys.
Oh, that's an interesting question. I don't know. Because it feels like to me, you define a lot of time, but if her time would never add up to what I'd call King's Landing time, and King's Landing time tended to focus around the Lannister family. So it's kind of...
Well, I guess that's the other thing, too, is whenever you see other people, you see major characters together.
Right.
But her, we're only seeing her. So
and
it's not like...
Sir Friendzone.
Right, but he doesn't... But in other words, people that we think can kind of lead into power, it kind of feels like... In other words, when we spend time in King's Landing, it's like, all right, well, we're spending 10 minutes here, but we've got three characters we're following. But whenever we go to Daenerys, she's the only power broker in that in that storyline.
Well, let me get to my prediction.
So I'm just saying, because of all the time we spent with her, it feels like she's got to be big at the end.
All right, let me get to my prediction for Daenerys.
Okay.
And I want to say that this is a prediction based mainly on the show.
Okay.
In that episode 9, where she and her husband to be Hisdar were sitting there in the fighting pits.
Right.
There's a real interesting thing where, you know, Hisdar's like, you know, this city's been here before us, it'll be here after us. And she kind of said something about, you know, raising it, you know, until it turns to ash or dust or whatever. And Hisdar was like, at your command? And she said, if need be. And so I almost feel like, if I had to guess, she's going to somehow convince that Khalasar to get on her side.
Uh-huh.
You know, that Khalasar, which should hate her because they left her before. Maybe she uses the Dothraki-like strength. So she gets that Khalasar on her side. Somehow, along the way, I do think Dario's dying in this upcoming season. And I think Ser Jorah will have an infamous show up at the right time. And so she'll kind of forgive him and be stuck with him again. They go back to Meereen, and depending on what's happening in Meereen, the whole city is either leveled. No, I'm going to say it's leveled. I mean, I was going to say maybe you could say she leaves there and she leaves Missandei and Grey Worm in charge. But no, I think Meereen's getting leveled like it was kind of hinted at in that 9th season episode.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay. And
season six will end with her finally heading to Westeros.
Okay. And what do you think the payoff will be, if any? Again, there was so much foreshadowing
right.
this season about the grayscale.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Sir Friendzone got it, and then we just kind of forgot about it, I guess. Does it gain greater importance next year, or does it just stay with him?
This is a tough call. I think it's definitely going to start spreading to other people, but I don't think that'll happen until we get to Westeros. I think that's where I'm going in that.
Oh, you think he's going to cover it up until so Sir Friendzone makes it to Westeros?
I think he survives season 6.
Okay.
In season 6, I imagine, with all the Marine characters heading to Westeros, and he is bringing that grayscale with him to the land she wants to. I mean, this would be the bittersweet, tragic ending Martin always talks about she gets there and, you know, frees the people from everything, but then they end up catching a disease and all, you know, like talk about.
Good Lord. People would riot in the streets. Well, because just in general, I mean, we're getting to an issue. We've got to have the sub fight get taken care of. It can't just be, you know, it's the people within the realm fight each other, and then there's like one episode left, and then they fight.
No, I think the White Walkers, once again, if I had to guess, it'll be the end of season 6 when they finally either reach the wall or start climbing the wall, or
so
however.
So this is why you think Daenerys gets there. Do you think the sub fight gets taken care of and then they go, or people are still fighting and then they have to join together for the White Walkers?
Well, once again, I just said the Northern forces with the Wildlings, I imagine them taking out the Boltons, and I would see that 8 or 9
okay.
of next year. And then 10 is the White Walkers and their zombie army of the undead climbing the walls.
So you say that's 10, because that sounds
that's
to me
10
like
of season 6. And then that sets
to me
up
sounds
the
like
final
that's
season.
The big. That's the big. You sure they want to do that at 10, or you want to do it at 9? Because to me, that sounds like that would be the big. Even though we've already had a fight at the wall, wouldn't that be the big one?
Well, what I'm saying is if they breach the wall or whatever it is, that's not going to be the big fight. The big fight could be, once again, in the north. It doesn't have to be at the wall.
But it would seem to me that you'd want the big fight to involve the White Walkers.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that, yeah, they breach the wall, but there's no fight. They just get past. You know, and then the thing is,
that's why I can't see that happening in episode 10. I don't imagine they'd move that to 9. Like this year, they had the big episode in episode 8.
Yeah, no. I think they're going to leave us on a cliffhanger of Dany coming to Dany invading Westeros, the White Walkers from the east, the White Walkers invading from the north. And so, you know, that's how I see it. It's like it ends, and then we have all of season 7 to kind of settle.
Well, that's a lot. That's a far way to get to in one season.
I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, I'm just saying. Well, presumably, there'll be a lot more action.
Well, if Daenerys wipes out Meereen in 8, if we have the Battle of Winterfell in 9, and then 10 ends with both forces coming in,
I just can't imagine Winterfell battle being
Arya,
the big one.
Arya is going to be the Luke Skywalker. She will never officially become a faceless man. Needle was buried.
Right.
But the faceless men, I imagine, once again, I'm going to say she spends all next season in Braavos, but next season ends with her being sent on a mission to Westeros, whether to collect debts from Stannis somehow, maybe go to Dragonstone to collect, you know, pretty much all the prizes in that castle because they loaned him money and now he's not, nobody's there to pay up, or to invade King's Landing, you know, already
Wait,
being sent to King's Landing.
You think the Bank of Braavos subcontracts to the Faceless Men?
Well, we don't know how the Faceless Men get hired. I think only death can pay for life. And so similarly, it could be something along the lines of the Bank of Braavos, you know, says, we'll let these people live. If Faceless Men, you'll go take out this.
That seems better. I don't imagine the Faceless Men seem like, you know, that they're like cheap for hire killers.
No. Right. But you understand what I'm saying. It'd be like, listen, we'll use our money to save this person if one of your assassin goes kills this person for us.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
But either the general point is, I think Arya is also herself going to be sent back to Westeros at the end. So like, I believe season 10 will end with so many people on boats and or White Walkers coming in to only set up season 7. I would say that a war with Dorne is inevitable. And so there's also the matter, and I'll only say that there have been casting announcements which point me towards this. So when you look at the map of the Seven Kingdoms, the Riverlands have been destroyed because of the War of Five Kings. The North, with the Greyjoy invasion and the Boltons, has kind of been destroyed. I almost feel like you need to destroy every area. So what are the areas that haven't been destroyed? Well, the Erie, where Robin Aaron is. The Erie itself may not get be destroyed, but Littlefinger hinted that he's going to send his troops from the Erie and the Vale north. And so they'll be in some battle, which will cause trouble there. I think the Iron Islands and then the Reach and Dorne are the final areas. So I imagine the Iron Islands will attack probably the Reach and maybe meet up with Sam, who's going to the Citadel, which is in the Reach, the Tyrell area. And then I think the Lannister, whatever remains of the Lannister army, will go march through the Stormlands, which is the Baratheon land, and there are no Baratheons left, and start a war with Dorne. So I think all Seven Kingdoms and the Riverland will be screwed by the end of Season 6. And so
you know, that's
they'll
a
need
good,
Daenerys.
That's a good point. I think another... another argument for Jon Snow not being dead is that, I mean, we've grown to like Samwell Tarly,
right?
But he's an ancillary character to Jon Snow,
right?
And again, from the casting announcements I've seen, it seems like we're not seeing the end of Samwell. So if we're not seeing the end of Samwell, to me, that means that Jon Snow's story is not done.
Interesting, interesting. We'll just see. I'd say, so my big season six deaths, I don't know if Dario counts, but I imagine season six deaths are going to be Dario, I believe he's going down, Tommen, the prophecy at the beginning of season five, which I don't think they ever really paid off this season, where young Cersei went to the witch, and the witch said, you know, all your children will die. She has one child left, so Tommen certainly is...
Except for Joffrey.
Well, Joffrey faked his death, so maybe that counted, I don't know, for the witch. But
yeah.
So I think Tommen will be...
An immaculate birth, so I'm not quite sure that he counts as like a human child.
Good point. So Tommen will be a big season six death.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if Davos, now that Stannis is gone, Davos, they may not have much to do with him, and so they could kill him for a reason.
Yeah.
I could also see...
Although, if Jon Snow comes back, it feels like...
That's the thing.
He would need like a general. And it seems to me that Davos would be a good general.
Well, my thought is Davos might be the kind who could help rally the remaining Stark loyalist Northerners and the Wildlings. You know, he's not Stannis. And so maybe he could help gather everybody together under Jon Snow's kind of...
Yeah, he seems like a good dude, so...
But I still think he could die. I still think he could be killed in Season 6.
Well, yeah, being a good dude is almost a requisite to being killed.
All right, let me think of other big Season 6 deaths. I would say the one that... It feels too early, but I think you're going to see one of these three. I don't know which one, and so maybe this is a cop-out, but you're going to see either Brienne, Jaime, or Cersei dead at the end of next season too.
Wow. Well, if Tommen is killed,
right,
who the F is left from that family? Does it become Cersei, Jaime? Who does it become?
Once again, I think it would go back to Daenerys. So Robert Baratheon, his grandparent was a Targaryen.
Okay.
So you would go back up the Baratheon line to the Targaryen line, probably.
Except... Since they overthrew the Targaryens, it's not like you're following that line. You're not saying, okay, well, this has been a long line, and so we'll go to a part of this line. It feels like they interdicted that line by overthrowing that king.
Right.
So,
I always used to say that I thought Lancel Lannister might end up on the throne, but he doesn't have any relation to the Baratheons, and so it's hard to see how he could do it, even though he would have the Faith Militant.
Might we see someone who we last saw rowing away become the king?
He would have to be legitimized, and people would have to know who he is. Boy, this would be tricky. Maybe Varys knows who he is, probably the only person, but Varys wants Daenerys, so...
Oh, you mean people? I was thinking about viewers, because
viewers
are going to have to be reminded about people being brought back to life before they'll buy them. Although I will say this, there's no way, there is no way,
right,
that if Jon Snow is in this next season, that we won't know about it before the season starts. There's no way they can hide
the
fact that they'll be shooting.
The thing is that they're not going to officially start filming season six until July. But people say Kit Harington's currently in Belfast now, and they're secretly recording, doing all the scenes right now.
Oh.
Well, people aren't paying attention. That's what everybody says.
Oh, that's smart. That's smart. Okay. Well, then some people are paying attention.
Do you have any predictions of who will be a big death next season, besides the ones I've mentioned, Catfish? You feel strong about anything?
I'll say this, and yeah. it won't. To me, the only people who can't die,
right?
And it's not that I don't want to see some of them dead.
Mm-hmm.
The only people that can't die, and one of them has already died, is Jon,
right?
Tyrion,
right?
Daenerys,
right?
Jon, Tyrion, and Daenerys. There was one more, but I can't even remember.
Arya, Sansa.
Arya.
Okay.
I'm not too sure about Sansa.
Well, I made this joke on Twitter. In the War of the Roses, the equivalent of Sansa did end up on the Iron Throne at the end. Now, of course, it was a male person. It was a male line.
Right, right.
But the person in the end would have been like a male Stark, Sansa, marrying Daenerys. That's how the War of the Roses kind of ended.
Okay, well, that makes sense that we'd... Oh, yeah, oh my God. This is crazy.
Yeah.
We have not even talked about...
Right.
Somebody who we're going to see a lot next year that we didn't see at all this
Bran.
Year. So what about Bran? And what do you think his storyline, how his storyline is going to connect with the rest?
Well,
And do you think he'll be alive?
I think he'll survive season 6. I do. I think this is, they haven't played it up on the show, but they've hinted it. So I feel it's okay to say it. Is that, what did the guy, the three-eyed raven, tell him the last time we saw Bran? He goes, "You will not walk, but you will fly." And so I think Bran, who has been able to warg into his direwolf, I think he's going to be able to warg into crows, into ravens, and he'll be able to kind of see everything that's happening.
But will he be able to warg into dragons?
I do. I don't think that's going to happen in season 6, but
okay.
I do think that.
All right.
I do think that could be a definite endgame type thing.
Now, when we start taking bets about who All ends right. up, who is sitting on the Iron Throne at the end of the series? Right now.
Let's hear it.
I'm going to take the longest shot.
Let's hear it.
Rickon.
That's a pretty good long shot.
Somebody who we don't even know.
I have a big long shot too, but that is, there is no Iron Throne at the end. I imagine there'd be, when Daenerys walks into the throne room in the vision of the House Undying, and Bran saw the same vision, the throne room had been destroyed. It was snowing in the throne room, and so I imagine somehow King's Landing itself is destroyed, and so there's no king when all is said and done. I think that's a long shot bet.
There's no king. There has to be someone in charge of the kingdom.
I'm saying no. That's my long
everyone's
shot.
Everyone's dead? Someone's
not that
be
everyone's
left.
Dead, but that there's some sort of, dare I say it, at the very least, there's no, maybe the kingdoms aren't united, 7 kingdoms anymore. It's suddenly back to 7 individual kingdoms and not people in charge.
Well, I'll just say this.
Yeah, that's a long shot. Hey, give that to me. I'll take that.
Whoa. Strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a political system.
All right, who you're going with Rickon?
No, I won't go with Rickon. You know what? I like your idea of Sansa, that if people die, but I'm going to go with my original, even though I'm wrong.
Let's hear it.
I'm going to say that it's Jon and Daenerys.
Okay. All right. I disagree. I think that Jon will be brought back to life, but he'll lose something. He won't be whole anymore, and I think that'll prevent him from really...
You know what they say.
Yeah.
Sometimes dead is better.
All right, folks, this has been a special... this has been a special episode of the Joffrey Podcast. You heard us on Geek Girl Soup first, and then you heard this speculation corner here to end the episode. It is the off season. I don't know when we'll be doing another Joffrey podcast, but please check us out on our other two podcasts here on the network. We are reviewing Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, the BBC 7-part miniseries adaption of Susanna Clarke's novel. Our podcast is titled Lost Hope. Go to Stitcher, go to iTunes, download, check it out. You can also, in July, hear us breaking down FX's The Strain Season 2. We have a podcast based around The Strain. It's titled Got Your Milk. Go to podcasters like iTunes and Stitcher and download it. Subscribe, please. We need everybody to join us on these other fun shows.
And if you have not watched the first season of The Strain, I've got two things to say to you.
Let's hear it.
One, you lucky bastard.
Hey.
Two,
yeah.
You can jump in now.
Yes.
Just watch the previously on.
That is completely true. That
jump
is completely
on.
True.
They've already changed one of the lead characters. They changed the kid. They replaced the actor. So just jump on with
jump
us.
Jump in.
Watch it. It's some silly fun.
It is.
We make the podcast even sillier and funnier because it's a ridiculous show. So, you know what? If you're missing out because of the game, you're having a Game of Thrones Jones and you want to watch some ridiculous stuff, watch The Strain and listen to our podcast.
That's true. If you want a good show, watch BBC's Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell.
Exactly.
Hey, Catfish, we love our double L's.
Our double L's?
That's our loyal listeners, so we're going to have this non-TV season have a giveaway. What are we going to be giving away to a lucky listener, Catfish?
Well, you know what? I bought this shirt off of this great site. It's a great site because...
We're going to tweet out a picture of the shirt. And
I tweeted out a picture already, but the site is great because what they do is they have an artist every day design their own shirt. And every day what they do is they offer the shirt for $10.
Yeah.
And then some of the shirts, they're still around. They offer them for like $18 afterwards. But again, they have artists do their own individual shirts and the shirts are so great.
Yeah.
And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to tweet out the name of the shirt of the place that sells it. And then it's called T-Fury, T-E-E-F-U-R-Y.
F-U.
F-U-R-Y. Check it out. They've got a new t-shirt every day. You know, it's for geeks like me. It's Game of Thrones. It's video games. It's all kinds of stuff. And the artists are super cool. And again, if you get the t-shirt of the day, it's $10. So I got a t-shirt that was not a t-shirt of the day that is Game of Thrones themed. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, let's give it out to our great off-season loyal listeners.
Right.
And so what we're going to do is we already gave away three great prizes. And those
three great prizes.
Those prizes have already been, all three have been claimed?
Oh, yeah.
Bubba? All right. Even the one person, it was Never Say Die? Okay, excellent. So what we're going to do is we kept the huge bowl. I don't know if you can hear, but here it is. That's all the names have been stripes. And I'm going to pull one of them.
Pull it.
And we're going to give out this nice t-shirt to another loyal listener.
Let's do it.
It is.
Let's hear it.
I think they're from the great state of Canada.
Oh, wow.
Because they are Oafburger.
Oafburger.
_ Canada.
Gave us a great iTunes review. Oafburger, you just won this exclusive, unique Game of Thrones t-shirt from T-Fury.
Yes, exactly.
And really from Catfish.
Yeah. So hit us up. Let us know where we could send that to you. We're in the process of sending out the other prizes already.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know what?
What?
We love you guys. And even though... the HBO does send us some prizes.
Yeah.
We go out of our way to get more prizes to you guys because you guys are the best.
You guys are
deserving of the name Joffrey Loyalists.
Hey, Catfish, how can people enter these contests? Well, you can do it two different ways.
Oh, so it was a rhetorical question. You're going to answer it yourself?
I didn't trust you to answer it correctly.
That's the one thing I know.
No, I don't think so. So you can tweet at Catfish or I, or tweet with the hashtag Joffrey of Podcast, or even the Joffrey of Podcast, or you can give us a written review in the iTunes store. We got two new iTunes reviews, and Catfish, why don't you read this first one?
I will. It's a 5-star review.
Ooh, thank you so much.
By Mortis Noctu.
Heck yeah.
Whoa. He says, or she says, sorry.
What did they say?
When I first discovered this podcast a little over a year ago, I was what you referred to as a double D.
Double D?
Deeply disgusted.
Oh, no.
I thought to myself, what are these two lousy chumps feigning devotion to Joffrey?
Ouch.
The idea of it was sickening.
Sickening.
I downloaded an episode and already had negative reviews racing through my mind.
Oh, no.
I couldn't believe that anybody would mock such a pure and noble soul as our good and just King Joffrey with satirical praise and false endearment.
What?
Only after listening to the show was I relieved to discover that Bub and Catfish were indeed not slandering or slighting the name of the glorious leader,
not
our one true king, Joffrey Baratheon.
Amen.
First of his name.
Yes, and first in your hearts.
The praise and devotion that I at first had misinterpreted as double I.
Double I?
Irksomely insincere.
Ooh.
I'm glad you didn't have to say that.
Hey.
Was in fact genuine and true in nature. Thanks for giving our steadfast and decisive leader the credit and respect that he deserves. Mortis Noctu, consider yourself the first person entered into the drawing for next year.
Wow. I'm so glad I'm not irksomely insincere.
No. You mean now? If I were to describe you in
general, Bubba.
All
right. So let's
read
the second new iTunes review. The second new iTunes review we got is from somebody called Rob Loves Pizza. 5 stars.
All right. Rob Loves Pizza and Joffrey.
Heck yeah. The title of this review is The Pan Supreme Pizza of Podcasts.
Excellent.
Rob loves pizza, damn it.
He does, damn it.
It's a 5-star review, and Rob wrote, when Joffrey makes his triumphant return to HBO's Game of Thrones,
oh, thankfully,
leading Westeros into the long summer, The Joffrey podcast will be there with banners raised. Heck yeah.
Mission accomplished.
When looking for a Game of Thrones podcast to listen to, just think, what sort of breadstick would you want to dip into your marinara sauce?
Oh, man.
A plain breadstick like all the other GOT podcasts?
No.
Or a cheesy breadstick like the Joffrey podcast?
Always cheesy.
The choice is simple. 5 out of 5 delicious cheesy breadsticks for the Joffrey podcast. Thank you so much. Rob loves pizza.
You know what? That's the first review that I've heard that makes me hungry.
The first? Well, you know what? This reminds me of something George Martin wrote in the third chapter of Takasha Klings.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it.
Maester Luwin is talking to Bran, and Bran's been depressed because he's still crippled.
Right?
And so Maester Luwin says, you know, one thing that'll cheer you up, Bran.
Oh, what is that, sir?
Let me bring you this breakfast. Now, the breakfast includes black pudding, crusted bread with honey, rich cottage cream,
delicious,
goat cheese, malted milk, mulled wine from the arbor,
wine,
ham sucked in pineapples, dates stuffed in a goose and fried over onion oil.
Oh, skip ahead.
Wait, catfish.
Skip ahead.
That's like one sentence.
I know. But it just seemed like you were suffering more than Roz on the bedpost.
Hey, now. All right, let's end this podcast the way we end every podcast with our Joffreys of the Week.
Oh, my God, our Joffreys of the Week. Wow, you know, I think I started first last time, so why don't you start this time?
Oh, well, nice of you, Catfish,
I know.
To allow me to go first.
My Joffrey of the Week is another political contestant.
Awesome.
And I call him contestant because he's a crazy nut job.
Let's hear it.
My Joffrey of the Week is Donald Trump.
What do you mean? He has the greatest... It's the greatest presidential campaign ever. Why is he your Joffrey of the Week?
He's a Joffrey of my week for a few things. But first of all, because one of his qualifications for president is, my family loves me. Okay? The other qualification
Joffrey's family loved him.
Is he's got radical great ideas. Just like Joffrey decided the best place to lead was from behind the walls of the castle.
Right.
Is that what Donald Trump would like to do is build a big wall along our southern border.
Smart guy.
And make the guys on the other side of the wall pay for it. He doesn't want those people coming in our country because apparently they're all very, very horrible people. I won't even go into what he said.
He called them all Ramses.
He did, basically. So for leading... From behind. And also, like Joffrey for his magnificent natural hair that's all his.
Right.
My Joffrey of the Week, the Donald Trump.
Ooh, that is pretty wonderful. Catfish, have you been watching the Women's World Cup?
I have not, but I've heard about it. I know it's going on.
The Women's World Cup, none of the games are being played on grass. Being played on AstroTurf.
Right.
Which gives women bruises and scrapes. Just like Sir Marin gave Evil Sansa bruises and scrapes.
Okay.
And so the International Soccer Federation of FIFA, from being sure that the women play on something that's not real, they get my Joffrey of the Week. Joffrey wanted the women to be equal to men, to have the same bruises as men got, and now the FIFA organization made sure that they did.
Wow. I feel like our Joffreys of the Week were like season 5 of the show, and that they were a little heavy and brutal at times.
Yeah, they not good with PR, but great leadership.
Exactly.
All right. We don't know when our next off-season podcast will be. Please check out our other podcasts. But for Catfish, for me, Bubba, you can be sure to check us out on
the Joffrey of Podcasts.